And there's lots of things that are being declared by our culture about what Christmas is about. And there's lots of things that we might even be thinking internally that might be saying to ourselves, you know, Christmas is about, it's a time of loneliness for some people, or there's such a spectrum of what people say and feel and think about Christmas. And in Australia, definitely, Christmas is becoming increasingly secular. You know, Jesus is kind of being taken out of the picture. But just as this series is called, hope has come. And what we do at Christmas time is we declare something about Christmas. We declare that hope has come at Christmas. We believe as Christians and we proclaim that hope has come at Christmas. And so this week we're going to be looking at how we have been bought at a price. That there's, at Christmas time, we can remember that we've been redeemed. And we're going to be looking at some of the, what that means shortly. But this is what we do. No matter what our culture says, no matter how we attempted to feel about Christmas ourselves, whether it's, you know, because it's at the end of the year, we can be thinking, oh, 2019 wasn't such a great year. And so we might be thinking, you know, I'm a bit of a failure. I've kind of let people down, or different negative thoughts can come in. But what we're called to do and what we're empowered to do is proclaim that at Christmas time, hope has come. Good news has come at Christmas. And, you know, just this is what the series is about. It's about the incarnation, that God has come into human history at Christmas. You know, God is not far and distant and away. He is. He's big and he's powerful. He's infinitely dimensional. He doesn't just exist in four dimensions. He's the creator of everything. And he could remove everything. You know, Thanos had nothing on God. Thanos snaps and 50% of life disappears. God just thinks it and everything disappears. That's his power. But he's not just the big and powerful God out there. He's God with us at Christmas time, the incarnation. He becomes a human baby, a vulnerable little baby boy born to a poor family. You know, at the whim of the Roman Empire. Should have been born in Nazareth, but because of the Roman Empire declaring we want more tax money, you know, go back to your hometowns. You know, his heavenly pregnant mum, Mary, had to travel. And he was born in a stable with farm animals all around. Shepherds to greet him. You know. But he came close. He came close and came near at Christmas. He's not just far away, he's close. He became Jesus, the Son of God, became a human. And because of his incarnation, because he crossed the boundaries between heaven and earth, because he crossed boundaries from the riches of what it means to be in God's presence, being fully God only, because he crossed those boundaries, because he became flesh, we can cross boundaries. That's what we can do. Jesus offers hope to us. And we, because he became flesh, he was incarnational, we can be incarnational as well. Because of his incarnation, we can also be incarnational. At Christmas, we also proclaim the hope of redemption, that not only has God come close to us and come into human history, but he's come into human history for a reason. That's to set us free, to set us free from slavery. But not only has he set us free from slavery, come into human history to set us free from slavery, but he's come into human history to set us free from slavery and then to invite us into his family, which is what we're going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks. And all these three concepts are different facets of what Jesus has done for us, the hope that he brings to us, the different facets of what salvation is. And it all comes from one passage that we're looking at in Galatians chapter 4. So, let's have a look at this. Let me read it out. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So incarnation, redemption, adoption. Verse 6, because you are his sons or daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Well, let's have a look at this. Just focusing on verses 4 and 5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Redemption. All right. A quick definition. Redemption means freedom. And literally, in Paul's time when he was writing this to the Christians who were in the Roman province of Galatia, he is literally meant freedom from slavery. You know, we've probably seen the movie Shawshank Redemption, this idea of the guy who is redeemed in the sense of he's kind of vindicated. Maybe it could be more properly titled the Shawshank Vindication. He's vindicated, he's declared innocent, but he's also set free from the prison. He's literally set free from a prison. He escapes from a prison. And that's this idea that redemption means freedom. And in Paul's time, it was not just cultural references to movies like the Shawshank Redemption, but it was 1/3 of the population of the Roman Empire were slaves. Like 1 in 3 people was a slave. Somebody owned them. And so this idea of redemption is really powerful because 2 out of 3 people can do what they want to do. 1 out of 3 people are owned as property by someone else and can only do what their master tells them to do, what their slave owner tells them to do. But there was hope for them, perhaps, if someone would come along and say, I want to buy this slave. Okay, you paid X amount of dollars, I'll pay even more to compensate you for the hassle of having to buy another slave. I'm going to pay even more money than what they're worth, and then I'm going to give them their freedom. So redemption means not just, you know, vindication or being set free from, you know, just slavery in a kind of vague sense. It was literally, in Paul's time, it was no longer being somebody else's property. And if there's people who needed hope when Paul was writing the book of Galatians, it's slaves. You know, the early church grew rapidly amongst slaves. Many people in the church were slaves. You know, that's why we have the book of Philemon. It deals with how do you deal with people, someone who owns somebody else. Book of Philemon is written about someone, Philemon was a slave who, no, Onesimus was a slave who ran away from a slave owner, Philemon. They're both Christians. So this is the social situation of the early church. You know, Jen could have been a slave. I could have been a slave. Pete might have owned me. And so what do we do? What do we do in a situation like that? What does this, see how this idea of redemption is so powerful for people who are powerless? If there's people who need hope, it's slaves. The Roman Empire was full of slaves. The church was full of slaves because they responded to this hope of redemption, not just redemption from their natural slavery, but as you will see, slavery from the elemental forces, spiritual forces of the world. But not only was it a situation back in the Roman times, there's more slaves now in the world as an absolute number, maybe not by as percentages, but as an absolute number, there's more slaves in the world today than there has been if you add up all the slaves in human history to date. So slavery isn't just a 18th and 19th century American phenomenon or a 16th and 17th century British Empire issue. It's an issue right here, right now. And we're kind of sheltered from it a little bit because we live in Melbourne, we live in a developed country, and that's great. But there's more slaves alive today, right now, than there have been ever. And do you think that this Christmas, this concept of redemption can offer hope to people? Absolutely. Some of us might be tempted to think, you know what, you know, I want to do what God wants me to do to address the modern day slavery issue, but you know what, I thank God that at least I'm not a slave. And then I'd like to ask you that question, well, are you not a slave? There are so many different things. So we have literal slavery, absolutely, for which Christmas is offers the hope of redemption. But there's also other types of slavery that as Christians or non-Christians we can fall into. There's the slavery of substances, substance addiction. People who are addicted to alcohol or drugs or to carbohydrates. You know, anyone else addicted to carbs? Croissants. I can never pass, say goodbye to a croissant. I know your name, croissant. I want you. But different activities. We're addicted to all sorts of different activities. That can be good activities, right? Exercise. Some people are addicted to exercise, right? They're gym junkies. That's literally the term that's used. And is it good to exercise? Absolutely. But sometimes people exercise to fill up a hole of need inside of them, to prove someone else wrong, to make them feel good about themselves in their identity. When God is saying, you know, I want to redeem you from the slavery of being a gym junkie. And so that you can accept who you are and what you look like and not have to conform to cultural standards all around you. I made you. I love you. So there's different activities. Sex can be addictive. You know, illicit sex, pornography. Pornography is a huge industry in the modern world. Different types of, some of us can be addicted to achieving things. And, you know, there's a lot of computer games have different achievements in them, and people try to, you know, unlock all of the different achievements, and some people try to do that with life, right? You know, I want to graduate from the best university. I want to buy this house and this place. I want to have this status so I can feel good about myself. There's all these different things that we can be enslaved. We can be enslaved to the approval of human beings. You know, I don't like making people unhappy. I want people to like me. I want people. No one likes to be disliked, right? I want to be liked. Sometimes that can lead to a slavery of human approval. What the Bible calls the fear of man. The fear of man is a snare. And we can fall into that trap. So I thank God that none of us here are literal slaves. Absolutely. I thank God for that. But some of us here are enslaved to certain things. And that might be true of if you're here as a Christian, you still might be enslaved to things. You might be a non-Christian and you might be enslaved to different things. But what we proclaim at Christmas isn't that Santa will give us a gift. What we proclaim is that Jesus has come to bring us redemption, to bring us freedom, that we can be set free from the things, these elemental spiritual forces of the world that enslave us, as it says in Galatians chapter 4. The hope of freedom has come at Christmas for the slaves in the world, literal slaves and figurative slaves. So redemption means freedom. Redemption also means a price has been paid. When a slave was redeemed in the Roman Empire, a transaction took place. Money changed hands. Documents were signed. Someone had to value that slave at a certain price more than the owner valued them. So the owner put a value, an economic value on that slave. And someone else had to come along and say, you know what? I impute a higher economic value to this slave than you do. So I will pay you more than you paid. And I want to own a slave. And then I'm going to set that slave free. And that's the slave owners had the right to set slaves free, and sometimes they did after, you know, three decades of faithful service. But anyone could just come along and offer to buy that slave to buy their freedom. If you think about what it means to be a slave, slaves are only valued for what they can do. It's what can you do for my bottom line? What can you do to make my life more comfortable? What can you do to make my life more valuable, more enriched? It's kind of dehumanizing in many ways because they're not valued for who they are. They're valued for what they can do. Have you ever felt like you were only valued for what you could do for someone and that they didn't actually look at you as a human being and see you as a human? Sometimes we can fall into that trap, right? The checkout person at Coles, we can see them as, you know, replace them with a robot or whatever. Sometimes we wish they would be replaced with a robot. We don't even see the name tag. We don't see the person. You know, it's kind of, sometimes our society we can fall into the trap of dehumanizing people. But especially slaves, right? It's only what you can do for me is what is important. What is, you know, I don't actually care about who you are. I don't care about what your hopes and dreams are. I just care about what you can do for me. Sometimes corporations can be like that. We can just feel like a cog in a machine. Slaves are by definition dehumanized. They're treated as property. But they were never made to be property. They were made in the image of God. All humans are made in the image of God. That's where human value comes from. Not from UN charters, not from statements on human rights. I mean, they're good things. But foundationally, fundamentally, value comes from us being made in God's image. Redemption means a price has been paid. And at Christmas, the hope of dignity has come. The hope of dignity has come at Christmas for the slaves in the world. The hope of dignity, the hope of value. Now, God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, as a little baby at Christmas time to redeem the slaves, redeem those under the law, redeem those who are enslaved by the law. God purchased you with the life, the death, and the resurrection of his Son. You know, in Romans chapter 8, I think it's Romans chapter 8, but it's definitely in Romans. If God the Father, if God would not withhold his Son from you, then what could he possibly hold back? God has already given to you. He's already purchased you with the most valuable thing that he has. So what God has done is, you know, I value you. I'll pay a price for you. I'll pay an expensive price for you. So the hope of dignity is that no matter if I'm slave to other people's approval or being a gym junkie or pornography or eating too much or whatever enslaves me, whatever addiction I have, I can be set free from it because God values me more than that addiction does. He's paying a higher price. He paid the price of his Son. That's the hope that comes at Christmas. You know, I'm not just a porn addict. I'm not just seeking approval from people that I don't even like. I'm not just someone who's trying to get achievements so that I can show off to others. I'm not enslaved to those things. I'm not enslaved to the issues of our world, of commercialization, of materialism, hyper-consumerism. I'm not enslaved by those things because God has a higher value for me than that. God purchased you with the life, death, and resurrection of his Son. If God the Father would not withhold his Son from you, then what will he not do for you? I wonder, do you need to know your own value this Christmas? Sometimes we can be hard on ourselves, right? And we can, you know, a relationship goes south. You know, that's Aussie language for is breaks up, you know, and we can feel bad about ourselves. We can feel rejected. We can be rejected by all sorts of different things, and then all sense, our sense of value plummets. But at Christmas, we have the hope that my life is valuable. How valuable? God will give his own Son for me. That's how valuable. That's why you are worth loving. That's why you are worth serving. Your life has value. So redemption means freedom. Redemption means a price has been paid. Redemption also means a promise. You know, you can't talk about redemption biblically. You know, Paul was Jewish. A lot of, you know, were many Jewish Christians in the church at Galatia. There's also Gentile Christians. But you can't, and, you know, we can't divorce Christianity from our Jewish roots, right? You can't speak about redemption without speaking about the Exodus. You know, in our modern world, we have lots of different views of what salvation is. One of our primary views is, you know, salvation means I'm not guilty anymore. I've been declared innocent. We have a courtroom scene of what salvation is. That's a Western thing. That's a post-Reformation thing. That's something in the last 500 years that's come about. But at the time of the writing of the Bible, the primary view of salvation is redemption. The national story of Israel is that they were a nation of slaves that was set free. They were a whole nation of slaves. They were slaves because of their genetics, their racial identity, treated poorly, their children killed, forced labor, not able to own property, no power over their own lives. No power, no freedom to worship the God who called them to be his people. You can't speak of redemption without speaking of the Exodus. This is the main image of salvation for Jesus' audience, for Paul's audience, for the early church. A nation of slaves were set free from a taskmaster, an evil king. Is there an evil king in our world today? Now, I'm not thinking, don't name any political leaders right now. But just the spirit, what spirit is behind all that's going on in our world, the brokenness in it? Is there an evil king in our world today? A nation of slaves was set free so that they can worship. That was what Moses first said. Let my people go for 3 days into the wilderness so that they can worship. That was the initial request, right? We just want 3 days off. We just want to travel a little distance. We want to worship our God for a little bit, and then we'll come back. That was the initial request. Set us free so we can worship. And Pharaoh said, no way. No, I deserve their worship. I'm not going to let them worship another God. I'm God. Does that sound like any kind of situations in our world today? But the Exodus is a story of a nation of slaves set free from a taskmaster, a nation of slaves set free so that they can worship, a nation of slaves set free so they could inherit a promise. Redemption comes with a promise. It's not just freedom to do whatever you want. It's freedom to inherit something. Who wants that? Who wants that? Who wants to be redeemed? Not just redeemed so I can, okay, now what do I do with my life? No, redeemed so that you can go and worship God in a land that he has for you. It's not just set free from slavery in Egypt to travel in the wilderness, which they did do, but they weren't really meant to. Not just so they can be aimless and wandering. Sometimes we get temporary freedom, right? And all it is that we wish we were back in slavery, just like the Israelites. At least I had structure. At least I knew what to do with my life there. Now I'm just wandering around not knowing what to do. But God's intention was always that they would be set free so they could go and live in a promised land, so they can go and raise families, so that they can go and be a light to the nations of the world, so they could worship God in the place and the land that he had for them. I'm missing a slide there, which should say, where is it? No. The hope of a promise has come at Christmas. Was that it? Redemption means a promise. The hope of a promise has come at Christmas. Do you need a promise this Christmas? You know, God has paid a price so that you can be free. Not just free to wander aimlessly, but free so that you can be who God has called you to be. You could worship him in the place that he has for you. Where is that place, right? What is it? What promise is it? I mean, I look at a room, I think about all the different things that God could do with this group of people. The promises that he has, the places, the industries, the sectors of society, the schools, the campuses, the children to raise up. It's powerful. The hope of a promise has come at Christmas. Do you need a promise this Christmas? Maybe Jeff, you can jump up and join me. Hope has come at Christmas. You know, it's not just about hope of getting a present that we want. Last week I shared about the shower head I got for one Christmas and how my hopes weren't really fulfilled. You know, and as I'm getting older, I'm getting more underwear, more socks. You know, my expectations are getting lower, right? And so I suppose I do hope for different types of presents, but in reality, what has come at Christmas is the hope of me being free, completely free, free to worship God, 100%. You know, even I was just sitting here, I was worshiping today. You know what, God, I want to be 100% free to worship you. I don't want to just worship you 99%, 95%. Maybe sometimes we think, oh, you know, this doesn't really apply to me. I'm all good, right? But, you know, is there even just an area in your life that you just need to go, you know what, there's this 1% area of my life where I don't have freedom. And I don't have to be perfect. I'm not saying any of us have to be perfect. I don't expect you to be perfect. I hope you don't expect me to be perfect. But is there an area of your life that maybe there's a 1% in your 1% of your life that you just don't have freedom yet? Or 10%? Or 50%? Maybe some of us, even as Christians, you know, you can be saved, right? You can literally be saved. If you die, you go to be with Jesus 100%. But maybe 90% of your life isn't free. Maybe it's stress, maybe it's worry, maybe it's finances, and it is, and rather than giving it to God, you're trying to work it for yourself. And the hope that we all have is that we can be free, because a price has been paid for us, the ultimate price. And that freedom isn't just the freedom to do whatever you want and to wander aimlessly and to be in the wilderness, but it's to inherit a promised land where a temple can be built, where we can worship God, so to speak. I'm not saying we have to build temples, but God wants sets us free to worship Him and to give us an inheritance. If you are a Christian here today, you can rest in the hope that, number one, you are entitled to freedom. If you are not experiencing 100% freedom, and maybe, and I don't think any of us really are, I know I don't, but I have the hope that I'm entitled to 100% freedom, and that the journey that I go on, I increase in the freedom that God has for me each and every day. If you are a Christian, then you can rest in the hope that you are more valuable than you can know. Your worth doesn't come from those old slaves that say you're only good for X, Y, and Z. You're only good for this. You're only good for that. No, your worth comes from the price, the last price that was paid for you. What was the last price? You know, you can look up realestate.com and look at the last price that was paid for a house to get an idea for what it's worth. It's probably gone up by 20% since then. Last week, you know, the property market's going crazy. But what was the last price that was paid for you? It was Jesus. What's the last price that was paid for you? Your worth is incalculable. You are made in the image of God, and God Himself has redeemed you. If you are a Christian here today, you are entitled to freedom, you are more valuable than you can know, and you have a promise. You have a promise, you have a purpose, you have a place. You know, in many ways, that's all I've been looking for in my life. I just want a purpose, God. I just want a promise. I just want a place to belong. And that's what He offers. That's what redemption gives. Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. If you are not a Christian here today, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you haven't made a decision to make Jesus the King of your life and to follow Him. If you are not a Christian today, then to you I say, you can be free. You can be free. Maybe you're struggling with areas of feeling like you're enslaved, but you can be free. You can be redeemed. If you're not a Christian here today, not only can you be redeemed, you are loved. You are loved and you are valued more than you can know. More than you've been told. More than what people have said to you. You are more loved and more valued than you've ever dreamed of, ever dared to hope for, by the Creator of the universe, who pays that price to set you free with Himself. If you're not a Christian here today, not only can you be set free, not only are you more loved and valued than you could possibly know, I offer to you the hope that you have a promise. I offer to you the hope that you have a purpose. I offer to you the hope that you have a place to belong. Life isn't just random. It's not just about the rat race. It's not just about acquiring more things. There is a cosmic purpose to your life that will impact forever. It will impact eternity. And then finally, for us here in Every Nation Melbourne, who call Every Nation Melbourne our home, I just want to remind you that because of the incarnation, because of Jesus' incarnation, we can be incarnational. He crossed barriers, which empowers us to cross barriers. We don't have to listen to the message of Christmas that is proclaimed by the world. We can do our own proclaiming in an incarnational way. We can go to people and offer hope. Last week I talked about how if we don't know what to offer, offer hope. Share the story of dealing with a dying girl to talking with, ministering to their parents, saying, you know what? I don't know what to do. All I can do is offer. I think there's hope. I think there's hope in Jesus. And then she was healed. When you don't know what to offer, offer hope, and we can do that. That's what Jesus did. We can be incarnational. We can be close to people who are hurt and broken this Christmas. You can invite them to your family Christmas gathering, right? That's what we're doing. We're inviting people. Come eat my Christmas ham. Come hang out with us. Incarnational. Redemption. Every Nation Melbourne. Because of his payment, because of Jesus' payment, our freedom means we can offer hope. I'm not just free to do whatever I want to do. My freedom has a purpose. My freedom has a place. My freedom has a promise. That's to be part of God's people and to offer the hope that he has offered me. So, enjoy Advent. Enjoy the Christmas parties. Enjoy Christmas shopping if that's what you're into. I know some of the malls will be open 24 hours leading up to Christmas. Enjoy all of that. Celebrate it. Even this morning, just putting on the Christmas carols. I love the Christmas carols. Just putting on the Christmas, I'm enjoying celebrating this time. It's meant to be a celebration, it's meant to be festive, right? Enjoy the food. 100%. But remember, we can be incarnational this Christmas and we can offer hope. And because we've been set free, our freedom has a promise, has a purpose. We can offer hope to people who don't know the hope that we do. Let me pray for us, Every Nation Melbourne, and then we're going to worship, and then I'm going to pack up really quickly because I've got a wedding to get to. So, Jesus, thank you so much. Jesus, you know, I was a slave. I know I was enslaved to different things. Nearly all the different things I was talking about, approval, fear of man, pornography, enslaved God. But you said, I value you, Ken. I'm not going to treat you like these taskmasters that are in it just for themselves, that enslave you. I'm going to purchase you. I'm going to pay the highest price I could possibly pay, Ken, because I want you to be with me. I want to set you free. Not just so you can be set free and just wander in the wilderness. I want to set you free and give you a place to go to. I want to set you free and give you a promise to inherit. I want to set you free so you can worship me. You can be with me. God, I thank you that that was the hope you offered to me. To be set free. To be valued. To have a place to worship you in. And God, I thank you that that's what you've offered all of us. That's the story for many of us in this room. God, if there's people here that don't know that freedom just yet, I pray that you be speaking to them even now. That you be drawing them, you be loving them, you be revealing how much you love them, God. And God, I pray that for all of us who do know you, that this Christmas we wouldn't fall into the trap of what our culture says Christmas is about, but we would celebrate it the way it was meant to be celebrated. By being who you've called us to be. By being incarnational, being Jesus to those who don't know you, by using our freedom to offer hope to those who don't know you. There's so many people, Lord, in our world right here in Melbourne that don't have this hope. I pray you give us those opportunities to share you and to offer hope when we don't know what to offer. Jesus, we love you. We love you so much. But it's only because you loved us even more first. And Lord, we just want to respond by singing to you, giving you the offering of praise and thanksgiving, because you're worth it, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.